May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts find favor with you, O Lord. Amen. At some point in our lives, most of us have asked the question, sometimes silently to ourselves, sometimes aloud, why is it that God allows bad things to happen to good people? We usually ask this question after we've heard of some tragedy. An 8-year-old boy in Chicago killed in a drive-by shooting. A young mother of 2 killed by a drunken driver. 85 years ago, in this church, I'm sure many people were asking that question when they learned of the tragic death of Pastor Emmanuel Storrs. He was killed driving south from Rhinebeck on a winter night when he went into a truck that was parked halfway off the road without lights. He was killed instantly, leaving a wife and 2 children, one of them an infant. I'm sure many people in this congregation 85 years ago asked, how could God allow this good and righteous man to die? Pastor Emmanuel Storrs. He was the one who instituted our beautiful candlelight services at Christmas. How could God allow that to happen? We ask this question in a variety of different contexts. We ask it in our literature. We ask it in our drama. We ask it in our poetry. We even ask it in our humor. There's a story, a joke, about Clyde, a good and honest, dependable, in Bible language we'd say righteous man. And Clyde, a faithful husband, a dependable worker, owns a home, pays his taxes. One evening, coming home from work, he parks his car in front of his house the way he's done 1,000 times before. And for some reason, that car goes up on the curb into a tree, totals his car. The radiator is spurting water, the oil is dripping. He jumps out of the car, slips in the oil, falls, breaks his leg. He crawls around the front of the car, up on the curb, looks up and sees his home is in flames. And his wife is walking down the front path with a suitcase in each hand. Clyde can't believe it. His entire life in less than 2 minutes. And he looks up at the heavens and he says, God, what have I done to deserve this? What have I done? And the voice of God booms out of heaven and says, I don't know, Clyde, just something about you pisses me off. Well, we laugh. But why do we laugh? We laugh because it's ludicrous. First of all, that God would say, I don't know, because God knows everything. But more importantly, because that's not how we believe that God would act. We just can't believe that God would act in this random, this frivolous way to wreak havoc on the life of this poor man on a whim. because, I don't know, maybe he didn't like the way he parted his hair or he wore socks with his sandals. We don't believe that God would behave in that way. But the question remains, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? That's really at the heart of the Old Testament lesson today. It's the story of Job. We're all familiar with the story of Job. In preceding chapters, we hear that Job is a man who's married, has a family, owns a lot of property, has a big house, he's wealthy. And all of a sudden, boom, he loses his house, he loses his property, he loses his family. He even loses his health. He's sitting, we see him sitting on a pile of ashes, scratching away at the sores on his arm. That's not a pretty picture. And Job wants answers. He's confused. He knows he's a righteous man. Even God admits that Job is a righteous man. And he wants to know how this could happen. How could God allow that to happen to him? He wants answers, and he says to God, tell me what the charges are against me that I might answer them. And God answers him, but none too gently. God's demonstrating a little tough love with Job. And God says to him, right off the bat, who are you to question me? Who are you who speak without wisdom? You cannot understand what I do. I will ask you questions, so gird your loins. What does that mean? Man up, Job. I'm going to give you some tough facts of life. Were you there? It goes into this whole series of questions. When I laid the foundations of the earth? Were you there when I laid the cornerstone of the universe? Were you there when I created the seas? Were you there when I created the winds and the sky? Were you there when I set the boundaries of the oceans? Answer me, were you there? Well, the easy answer is obviously no, Job was not there. But what is it that God wants us to know in this Old Testament lesson? First of all, he wants us to know that he is God and that he does what God does. God is the great creator, the great architect of the universe. That's what God does. And while we are part of that creation, we are not always central to that creation. We are not alone in that creation. In other words, it's not always about us. And God wants us to know that what he doesn't do, what is not his business, is to either allow or prevent bad things from happening to us. That's just simply not what God does. Bad and sad things happen to us inevitably because we are alive. In the process of living, bad and sad things happen to us all. And we have to accept that fact. And we have to deal with that fact. So the question really is, how do we deal with that? Four Fortunately, the gospel today provides us an answer. Jesus once again comes to the rescue. In today's gospel lesson in Mark, Jesus and the disciples get into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus promptly falls asleep on the cushions in the stern of the boat. And as often happens on the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes up very quickly. Jesus is sleeping. And the disciples, as they are wont to do, panic. And they wake up Jesus and they say, "Jesus, Jesus, do you want us to perish? I mean, do something, do something." And Jesus gets up and calms the sea, calms the wind. Did you notice there's a parallel in the readings today? In the first, in the Old Testament, God creating and controlling the sea and the wind. And it comes up again in the psalm today. So, Jesus says, first he calms it, and then he turns to them and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you so little faith?" There's the key right there. Have you so little faith? By the way, do you notice that Jesus, like his Father God, likes to answer questions with questions? Do you ever notice that? Chip off the old block, huh? Like father, like son. Happy Father's Day. That's my shout out to you fathers. Faith. Faith is the key. Jesus said, "Have you so little faith?" Faith, what Jesus is suggesting is that faith is the antidote for our inability to fathom and comprehend the mind of God. Jesus is telling us, strengthen your faith. Strengthen your faith. That is how you deal with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, with the inevitable bad and sad things that happen. Strengthen your faith. How do we do that? How do we strengthen our faith? I would suggest to you that faith is like a spiritual muscle. And like the other muscles in our body, we have to strengthen it. As we do our exercises for our physical strength and well-being, so must we exercise the spiritual muscle of our faith. How do we exercise? How do we strengthen this spiritual muscle? I think the best exercise is prayer. Pray. Not because God needs our prayers. God doesn't need our prayers. But we need to pray because prayer is that exercise that strengthens our spiritual muscle. We need to pray. And we need to understand the nature of prayer. What is prayer all about? Prayer is really a two-way communication with God. Not just talking to God, which we're all very good at. We like to tell God what God should be doing. But it's also listening to what God is saying to us. And we're not so good on the listening part. We expect that somehow if God wants to talk to us, call us on the phone, he'll shout from heaven, a burning bush. But no, more often, God speaks to us through our relationships with other people. with those we love. God speaks to us through those human contacts. God also speaks to us through our relationship with nature. God speaks to us in the waves. God speaks to us in the wind, in the trees, and the birds. God talks all the time to Shirley in the garden. All the time. Sometimes I eavesdrop on the conversation. Shirley does question God about the weeds, why there need to be weeds. We can and should not just talk to God, but talk with God, which means listening. And we should keep our prayers positive. Positive prayers. Too often we pray from fear. We pray, oh God, don't let this lump in my breast be cancer. Now, those prayers are negative prayers. They drain energy. Positive prayers. Give prayers of thanks. Give prayers of gratitude. Every day, thank God for what you have and for who you are. Once again, God doesn't need our gratitude. God doesn't need our appreciation, but we need to be thankful because it gives us the motivation to face the hardships in our lives. A few weeks ago, I read in the Church eBlast, Karen Butts had a very good letter, and in her letter, she said that she keeps a journal, and every night before she goes to bed, she writes three things for which she's thankful and grateful for that day. You know, that she has a successful business, that it was a beautiful sunny day, and she heard from an old friend. And she said, at the very least, she gets a good night's sleep. I tend to pray in the morning. And so my prayers give me the motivation to swing my old legs out of bed in the morning. So pray, pray, be thankful. Thank God for all you have. In summary, we can't ever understand, comprehend, fathom the mind of God. God, the great creator of all. But by strengthening our faith and through the power of prayer, we have the assurance that we are a vital part of God's creation. And furthermore, we have the blessed assurance that through Jesus, we are all the beloved children of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.